Hey, this is Jamie from Stillmire Games, and this is the first video that I'm filming after gathering your feedback on my State of the Channel video. And one of the things that you asked about, well, the thing that you overwhelmingly asked about was for me to occasionally do design diary posts about my own games, the Stillmire games. And today I'm not going to do that. But one of the other things that you asked for was for me to kind of just talk about a general game design and publishing and production concept, how it might relate to the current state of the board game industry, and tied to that, sometimes bring in topics that I often more cover on the Stillmire Games blog, which is where I typically talk about crowdfunding and publishing, sometimes production and entrepreneurship. And today I'm gonna do a hybrid of a couple of those things. I'm gonna talk about campaign games, but not in the top 10 list format. Instead, I'm gonna talk about campaign games from the perspective of, well, a few different perspectives, really. This is really rooted in an article I wrote called The Future of Campaign Games. And sorry if this is distracting, I'm gonna be looking at my other screen a little bit where I have a few different things up, including the article that I wrote that I'll link to below called The Future of Campaign Games. And in it, I start out by talking about how, actually when I wrote it, I wasn't done with My City, but I was still, now I am, I'm finished with the 24 game My City campaign. And I said that soon we're gonna start playing Betrayal Legacy. I also have multiple pre-ordered campaign games on the way to me, including Role Player Adventures, Sleepy Hollow, Now or Never, The Emerald Flame, The Seventh Citadel, and Soul Raiders. And then and I also have some that I haven't completed playing. I haven't played Sleeping Gods again. I played it once, I haven't played it twice. I haven't played the three game Destinies campaign. So I have some visuals I'm going to show you today too. So I played one game of Destinies, but not the three game campaign. So I have that to play through. And then when I wrote the article, there were a lot of games on Kickstarter and crowdfunding, GameFound, like Earthborn Rangers, Aridia, Divinus, and Lands of Galzir. I ended up backing two of those games. But I was also just feeling a little overwhelmed. I was like, with so many campaign games, every time a new one comes out and I look at how many that I haven't played, not even if they're not on my shelf yet, but they're incoming, I feel like I'm becoming less inclined to buy yet another campaign game and maybe more inclined to buy games that don't require a campaign for me to experience the game. And one of the big reasons, in addition to that I've been thinking about it, is that I am designing a campaign game right now. And I was almost, with this on my mind, I was almost starting to think, should I format this game differently? Should I not make it a campaign game? Should I make it just a longer game that you just sit down and play for a couple hours? Should I break it up into really bite-sized elements like the crew? Like the crew play has these like little these little micro games almost built into a much longer 50 game campaign that you can stop at any time if you want. You don't feel like beholden to play through the whole campaign of the crew. It's more like just the style of playing the crew is you play one mission and then you play another one, you play until you want to stop. So I thought, should I change it up for that? And so I was really interested in getting some data, and so I pulled Stillmire Ambassadors to see what their current thinking was about campaign games. And so we're going to share some of that data with you today. We being Joe, hopefully putting some of this stuff on the screen so you can see the charts and graphs, but you can also go to the link below. But the one thing you won't be able to see is that, and there will also be a link for this below, is after I posted this article, I asked people who read the article if they wanted to also submit their answers to these questions on a separate poll so I can kind of compare the two answers. So I have what the ambassadors think, but I also have what the general public who read my article thinks about these questions. So I'll talk about that a little bit today as well. So I think that's a good point to jump in here and start looking at some of these this data. I should say up front, here's how I defined a campaign game on the article. A campaign game, by my account, is a game designed specifically to be played over multiple sessions with some connecting narrative and persistent elements from game to game. Most campaign games have both micro endings, that is, like you get to pause at specific times, typically to maybe clean up that episode and set up the next episode, and also macro endings, like some overarching goal that you're trying to reach as a group or individually if it's a competitive campaign. And sometimes even in a cooperative campaign, you have your own character-driven goals as well. That's my definition of a campaign game. Also, hopefully I remember to link them in the comments below, but I have several videos about like my top 10 favorite campaign games and things like that. So if you want that, those videos are out there already. So the first two questions that I paired together that I asked are, how many campaign games have you played in the last year? And how many campaign games are currently on your shelf of opportunity or will arrive soon? And the data suggests that people are averaging around two campaign games a year. So that consists of a little over half of people, around 60, 65% of people are playing between two, really two and zero, one, and two campaign games. And then if you bring that up to around 80%, then you have people who are playing three, two, one, or zero campaign games. So that's where I came up with the average of around two campaign games a year. And that's a very interesting number to me because that really is not all that high. Like, think about the number of different games that you play every year, and only two of them are campaign games on average. That says to me a little bit that there is a limit, that people aren't necessarily looking for dozens of campaign games every year. Maybe they're just looking for a few really good campaign games a year. Comparing this to the public data, let's see if it's all that different. It is a little different. It looks like for the, well, yes, it's not that different. The biggest difference between the two is that it looks like in the public data, 18% of people said that they play five or more campaign games a year, compared to 13% of people among Stillmeyer ambassadors. So that is, I mean, that's a statistically significant difference. That's a whole 5% of this overall question more in terms of the public. I still think that's a relatively small number, but that maybe indicates that there is a certain audience that just eats up these campaign games. That's what they primarily play, that they're happy to play a number of campaign games every year. I think I'm probably somewhere in the three to four category, three to four campaign games a year. Yeah, that seems to be pretty much on par for what I've done this year. I did Charterstone, I did My City, I did a Sleeping Gods, so that's three for the year. And yeah, I think I might be missing one, but I think it's around three or four. It will be around three or four this year. The other question was, how many campaign games are currently on your shelf of opportunity or will arrive soon and end up on that shelf? And let's look at these results. So it looks like people are averaging around three campaign games that are waiting to be played among the ambassadors, and the data is almost identical with at least in terms of the average for the general public. So that's interesting to me as well, that people are playing on average two campaign games a year, but they have three more in the wings waiting to be played. And like I mentioned at the beginning of this video, I have way more than that even. I have one, two, three, four, five, six campaign games that are currently in some level of production and might be arriving sometime over the next few months or year. I don't think I actually have any on my shelf right now unless I'm forgetting something, other than Destinies, because I do have the three-game campaign to play there. But yeah, that says to me a little bit again that maybe while people still want campaign games, they're putting them on their shelves, that maybe the interest that maybe there's a limit there. And I'll talk about this a little bit later. I don't necessarily know if this should impact game designers all that much. Like, if you have a great idea for a campaign game and you're willing to spend the time designing it, go for it. But I wonder if the market is going to be a little more constricted or will continue to be a little bit more restricted. However, at the end of this video, I do have some recommendations based on this data of how to structure that campaign game in a way that could be appealing to quite a few people. So the next question I asked is, if you hear about a game that sounds awesome, and then you learn that it's a campaign game. So you hear about a game, you're like, okay, wow, that sounds really, really cool. I just heard it. I heard about the Shards of Infinity, Shadow of Salvation campaign expansion or expansion. Sounds really cool. The mechanisms sound really cool. And then I learned, oh, it's a campaign expansion or it's a campaign game. Does that impact your excitement? And 50% of people said their excitement doesn't change. And 27% of people, around 28% of people, said that they are more excited if they then learn it's a campaign game. 21% says their excitement goes down. There's a number of ways that you can interpret this data, because it goes both ways. There isn't an overwhelming majority either way. And the public data is pretty similar. The percentages are higher, but it's pretty much an even breakdown between those who are more excited if they learn it's a campaign game and those who are less excited if it's a campaign game. It's around 30% both ways. 30% both ways are more or less excited if it's a campaign game. So I don't know if there's much to be learned from this particular question, because it doesn't really indicate strongly either way. But I think it is a question, an interesting question to continue to ask and to look at over a longer period of time. I might do a similar poll about this next year to see how people's behaviors and excitement about campaign games continues to evolve and change. The next question I asked was, if you've ever purchased and played a campaign game you enjoyed, but you didn't finish the campaign, how did you feel about it in retrospect? So this was kind of, I was trying to examine the idea of exit polls, essentially. So this is a thing that is done in the movie industry. People might be really excited about a movie, and then you ask them after they leave the movie, how did you feel about that? Right at the end, like right after they walk away from the movie, how did you feel about that movie? Because that might change over time. Their response to that question might be more it might be higher in the middle of the movie. It might be higher if you wait a week, or lower if you wait a week. But right after, at the end of the movie, what is their impression of it? And so I wanted to ask this about campaign games, because from my perception, there are plenty of campaign games that people start and don't finish. I don't even know, actually, I say that, I don't know if I have a ton of them on my list. I know that I played and finished a Sleeping Gods campaign. Let me pull that out. So we played and finished the Sleeping Gods campaign, but there's a lot more content in this box. We could easily play another campaign and not see anything, not have any overlap from the previous campaign, which is exciting, but are we actually going to do it? So we have that. I also have Clank Legacy down there, which we did play the full campaign. Offhand, I can only think of one campaign game that I played that I didn't finish. Oh no, Gloomhaven is one. I definitely did not finish the Gloomhaven campaign. It's just too big. And what was the other one? Oh, the Legacy game set on the Age of Sail Legacy game by Rob Davio, that Seafall. I didn't finish that campaign. And so the options I gave people were one response was, I'm happy to have played part of the campaign and I feel good about the purchase. And that's generally where I fall. That's the case for any game, even if I just play it once. I'm happy to have played it. So I don't really have a strong regret if I buy a campaign game and I only play it a few times. That is fine with me. And that looked like around 36% of ambassadors replied to that, and around 31% of the public said that they're... Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong poll there. Let's see. Excitement. So this is the exit poll question. Let's see. Sorry, I had these are two different tabs that I have open here. Okay, here we go. So it's about 36% are just happy to have played it for the ambassadors, and then 29% of the general public say that they're just happy to have played it. The option that I was worried about, that I was very curious and worried about, was I feel like I had an incomplete experience and didn't feel good about the purchase. My thinking there was that if this is a significant number of people, then every time someone plays a campaign game that they don't finish, that they are less excited about buying other campaign games. That was my thinking. Looks like 30% of people think that among ambassadors, and 31%, pretty much identical, among the general public. So a significant number of people, if they don't finish the campaign game, they're going to walk away regretting the time and maybe the money they spent doing that. And I think that could impact their future purchases. Again, I will come back to this later in terms of maybe lessons learned about how to structure a campaign game. That's later in this data, to prevent that from happening, to encourage people to actually finish the campaign rather than stopping at a certain point and not continuing. And then the other interesting part of this question was, I also, one of the other answers you could say is, I have finished every campaign game I've ever started. I'd love to hear what you think about this. I'm curious to see how the needle moves when viewers of this channel get to this question, because that is a big thing to say, that you have finished every single campaign game that you ever started, especially with some of these really lengthy campaign games. 21% of ambassadors said this, and 26% of the general public said that they have finished every single campaign game that they played. So that is really interesting too. That is a fairly significant number as well. The next question I asked was, which of the following would you rather play? This was fascinating to me, because this was the direction that I was actually leaning for my campaign game before I posted this poll. I was thinking, okay, I just want, maybe at this point people just have had enough of campaign games, and I will just make this a single session game that's maybe a little longer than normal, and it's maybe broken up a little bit throughout the, maybe it's broken up into like days or something like that, like within the construct of the game. You play a day, but then you keep playing, kind of like the crew. You play a little game, then you keep on going. That's how we do with My City. My City is the games are really, really short and snappy. They're like 15, 20 minutes, and then you play another one if you want. Although My City is not the style of game that I'm talking here. It's not overall the game that you play in 3 to 4 hours. And okay, but so I said, which of the following would you rather play? 3 to 4 separate games, each with setup and cleanup within a campaign. So campaign format, normal campaign format, with 3 to 4 separate games within that campaign, or a single 3 or 3 to 4 hour game potentially over several sessions. And the results really surprised me because 70, let's see, yeah, 70 in both sets of data, 76% of people said that they would rather have separate games than a long game. So this is indicative A of the types of longer, the how few people there are out there now that want to play really long games, games that are over 3 hours. They're out there. There are plenty of people that do that. I'm sure you can think of some 3 to 4 hour games that you really enjoy, maybe even that you get to the table on a regular basis. But you might be in the minority here. That's okay. But that way more people would prefer, even with the extra setup and cleanup, would prefer multiple sessions, that multiple separate games that comprise a longer campaign. That to me was really, really interesting. And when I saw that, that was a big signal to me. That is not a direction that I should go for my campaign game or my game, that I should not try to force it into a single sit-down play model. With the idea being it was going to be single sit-down and play, but then you could play it multiple times. So it's just going to be a standard replayable game, just not a campaign game. And this was a sign to me that that is not what people are looking for in this style of game. If there is going to be a connected narrative, a persistent element, an ongoing story, ongoing mechanisms as well, that people would rather have shorter, snappier games. How short, we'll get to in a second, but shorter, snappier games within even just a 3 to 4 game campaign. It doesn't have to be a super long campaign. So let's talk about length. So I delve a little bit deeper into this over the next few questions. Length and player count. I'll do campaign length first. So I said, what is your preferred campaign length? And let me find the corresponding question. Yeah, so among, let's see, so the summary of the data is 91% of people, oh no, this is player count. I need to do campaign length. So nearly 80% of people are looking for campaigns that are between 6 and 20 games, potentially divided into fewer sessions than that, but 6 to 20 games. So for an average of around 12 to 13 games per campaign. And that data is very similar to the public data. So basically just a ton of people reply that they are interested in both campaigns that take 6 to 10 games or campaigns that take 11 to 20 games. You get into outliers when you look for really short campaigns with fewer games, and you get into outliers when you get into games that are longer than 21 campaigns. So the Gloomhavens of the world are very famous, they're very visible, but they are the outliers in terms of what people actually prefer on an ongoing basis. So that was really interesting to me. 6 to 20 games. So that's a big range, but I think the average of 12 is a nice sweet spot. And there are some games that do that. There are some campaign games that do that. Like Sleeping Gods isn't really divided into games, but this is maybe a 20-hour campaign. Took us around 18 to 20 hours. Shards of Infinity, this expansion, I believe it's either a 3 or 4 game campaign. So this is an outlier itself. This is on the shorter end, but I really enjoyed it because of that, because it was such a short, snappy campaign. Clank Legacy down there in the box, I believe, was a 10 or 11 game campaign. So, and that's really been moving up the BGG charts. If you haven't played Clank Legacy, here, I'll pull it out so you can see it. It's a big box. Hard to lift up and show, but it is a good one. It is a great campaign game, one of my favorites. This is being very well received, and people continue to enjoy it. And this is a yeah, this is right in that sweet spot of, we're saying, 11, 12 games. That seems to be what people are looking for. And along with that, I had a question here about length? Yeah, here we go. What is your preferred game length? So let's talk about that as well here. So 84% of people said they're looking for games that aren't too short or too long. So they're looking for something in the 30 to 90 minute range. What's that average out to be? Around 60 minutes. So it appears that shorter campaign games like The Crew or My City, while I really enjoyed them personally, this is my personal bias coming in, I really enjoyed them personally, but it appears that most people prefer just a little more meat, like the 30 to 45 minutes of The King's Dilemma. Actually, yeah, that's another campaign game I played this year. I totally forgot about The King's Dilemma. So The King's Dilemma is 30 to 45 minutes, or a game like Charterstone that plays in 60 to 90 minutes. Pandemic Legacy also plays in around 60 to 90 minutes. That seems to be the sweet spot, somewhere in that 60 to 90 minute range, or 60 to yeah, so around 60 minutes per game. So that is really good to know. So that's not too short, it's not too long, it gives you a substantial experience. It's kind of like reading a single book in a series. You want that book to be satisfying. You want it to have a good beginning, good end, even though there's more books in that series itself. So that's kind of my thinking here. So we're starting to compile kind of a formula here for what people want out of campaign games. So looking for around 12 games per campaign. Doesn't mean that needs to be the only campaign in the box. Like Sleeping Gods essentially has multiple campaigns in the box, but you can get a full campaign experience in Sleeping Gods simply by playing one campaign. Around 12 games and around an hour a session. Maybe with some variability there, 45 to 75 minutes per game. Not necessarily per session, per game. I also asked, at what player count are you most likely to play a campaign game? And player count, yeah. So 91% of people said that they play campaign games at 2, 3, or 4 players. That was the ambassador data. Let's see what the general public says about that. Player counts. Okay, yeah, this was really interesting. So yeah, so part of that, 2, 3, or 4 players. That was interesting to me. You might know, some of our games, we publish games that play up to 5 players. So every one of our games plays between 1 and 5 players. Some of our games play up to 6, some even play up to 7. And this was a little reminder to me, I mean, even though we're going to keep doing that, we are going to keep doing that, that the 5 player count in a campaign game might be a little bit more of an outlier. We're still going to keep doing it because that's part of our model. That's what we're known for, I think. But that is a little bit of a signal there that you don't necessarily need to design a campaign game for 5 or 6 people. That could end up slowing down the game itself. And so designing around 2, 3, or 4 players is really the sweet spot here. However, the really interesting data point to me is that my perception was, and still is to a certain extent, that campaign games are great for solo play. It isn't something I do myself, but because you don't have to coordinate that group of people, you don't have to rely on a partner to be equally invested in the campaign, solo play for campaigns is really nice. It's completely flexible. You can do it whenever you want. And I was surprised to see that in the ambassador data, the number of solo players was really low. It was around 7 or 8% of people said that they played campaign games solo. Which surprised me because among our ambassadors are plenty of solo players. Like solo play is a big part of some of our games. Almost all of our games have solo modes, robust solo modes. And so I think in this case, the public data is probably a little bit more indicative of the truth, which is 17%. The public data said 17% of people prefer to play their campaign games solo. That to me seems more accurate. And I think if that holds up, after some of you also fill out this this poll, this survey, I think it adds to the importance of having a robust solo mode in your campaign game. I think that is really, really important. I can't see any reason why you wouldn't put a solo mode in a campaign game. I think that's one of the reasons why Arkham Horror, the card game, has done so well. So what am I missing here? Okay, so if you're, sometimes in this survey, I was just asking questions in different ways to see how people would respond. And one of the things I said was, if your budget currently allows for only one of the following campaign games, which are you most likely to buy? A very odd question to ask, but I just wanted to see what the data would be. And 77% of people said that they are most likely to buy a $50 to $70 campaign game advertising 20 to 30 hours of gameplay, opposed to a longer, pricier campaign or a shorter, cheaper campaign. So we have the, let's see, games. So Destiny's fits into that model. Clank Legacy does. Sleeping Gods, I believe, does. I don't know the actual MSRP on Sleeping Gods, but so Pandemic Legacy does as well. I think maybe that goes up to 80 now, but I think the original was around 70. And so that $50 to $70 range, $60 being the average here, is an appealing price for people, especially if they know they're going to get around 20, maybe a few more hours of gameplay out of the total experience of playing that game. I'll come back. I'll summarize that at the end, but that was very illuminating to me, and that I believe that was echoed in the public data as well. Yeah, not everyone liked that question because it is kind of a weird question. Like at any given time, you might have budget for a number of games, not just one campaign game. But I thought it would be interesting to see what people said. And yeah, the public data does largely echo that. And last, okay, yeah, this was interesting to me as well. The final question I said are there some genres of campaign games that you get more excited about than others? I wanted to see if there are any patterns here. And I definitely saw some differences between the public and the private data here. So, and this was one where you could select as many options as you wanted. So for example, some of the things I said were dungeon crawlers, open world adventures, village city empire building, puzzle games, mystery LCG style games, competitive versus cooperative, legacy versus non-legacy. Let me jump down to those last two pairs of categories first. So let's do competitive and cooperative. So it looked like, yeah, way more people are excited about cooperative campaigns than competitive campaigns. That is very clear in this data. At Stonemaier Games, we actually have two competitive campaign games. The Rise of Fenris for Scythe and Charterstone is a competitive game. Both are competitive campaign games, but people prefer cooperative games. So that's something to keep in mind if you're designing a campaign game. Make it cooperative. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but it just seems to get people a lot more excited about campaign games. Maybe it's that idea of getting people together. Maybe it's the idea that if you're investing a lot of time in a campaign, that you don't want to feel like you're falling behind over the course of many games. Like, it's one thing if you're playing a single session of a single game where you fall behind and you lose. So what? You know, you reset it, you play again in the future, or you don't play it ever again. But in a campaign game, if you're three games into a 12-game campaign and you feel like you're never going to win because of choices that you've made, because of those persistent elements, whether they're legacy or non-legacy, that can not feel good. I can definitely get that. I definitely understand that. So the other question there paired with that is legacy versus non-legacy. And this was really interesting because I was surprised to see that that legacy games are actually the preferred format over the two. So 51% of people who answered this question said they do like the legacy format. Only 35% of people said non-legacy. And even more with the public. 71% of people in public said they... Oh, no, no. 55% of people said they prefer legacy. Only 23% said they prefer non-legacy campaigns. So that was really interesting to me, especially since there's always seems to be an uproar when a legacy game comes out. And people are like, gosh, you know, I can only play it once. I can't play it after that, which isn't even true of legacy games. But it does seem that there's something about the experience that legacy games provide, that permanent, that the permanence of it, the permanence of your decisions and the persistence of those decisions that people resonate. And for those of you who are watching who don't know what a legacy game is a game that features permanent changes that cannot be undone. Whether they're constructive, like you're building something, you're putting a sticker on the board or a mat or a card, or you're writing on it, you're naming something, or if they're destructive, where you are taking a component and you are ripping up that card, you're destroying that card, you're never using that again. More people prefer legacy campaign games to cooperative games. The game that I'm designing is not a legacy game, so I'm not going to change that just for this data, but it is not a legacy game. Then the other elements here where I was looking at, like dungeon crawlers, it appears that dungeon crawlers is actually lower than I thought, at least among Stonemaier ambassadors, which makes sense. Stonemaier Games doesn't really make dungeon crawl style games, but among the general public, it was higher. 53% of people said they liked dungeon crawlers. It sounded like, it looks like, oh yeah, this is interesting too. So among the general public, the data for dungeon crawlers, open world adventures, village city empire building, and puzzle style games was all pretty equal, with then the kind of the Arkham Horror category, which I put as mystery LCG, was the lowest. But the other four categories were pretty equal. Whereas with Stillmire Ambassadors, people were most excited about village, city, and empire building legacy games, which again makes sense. They're Stillmire Ambassadors. A number of them have probably played Charterstone. But for both categories, people were excited. Like I used Pandemic as an example of a puzzle style cooperative game. Or campaign game, and open world adventures. People seem really excited about having open worlds to explore in campaign games, which fits well because my campaign game is very much an open world game. It is super, super open world. I'm so excited to share more details with you when I'm finally done with this thing, but it is massive and it is very, very open in that open world sense. And it is cooperative. So yeah, let's get to the summary here, because we kind of have, with all this data, we have a little bit of a formula of what people are looking for from campaign games. And again, these are averages. There are many outliers that are, there are the Gloomhaven style outliers that are massive campaigns that are longer, that have longer sessions, that are longer campaigns. And there are the other outliers. There are the very successful games like The Crew, which is, you know, short, snappy games, no real campaign commitment here. It's even debatable if it is a campaign game or not, but there are outliers. But on average, if you're going to design a campaign game, 1 to 4 players, that's the sweet spot for player count, 1 to 4 players, include all of those player counts, 1 hour per game, 12 games in the campaign. However, you are not limited to just one campaign in that box, because people like around 25 hours of total gameplay. So if you have, so that's essentially saying put 2 campaigns in that box, and each of them are around 12 games, and each of them are 1 hour per campaign. And I actually think that really works well. That's the feeling that I had from Sleeping Gods. I'll pick this up as I'm talking about it. So the feeling I had from Sleeping Gods was, I really enjoyed this campaign. I don't want to play again right now, because we just spent 20 hours on this thing, but I want to come back to it in the future. And there's plenty of world left to explore. I almost said destroy. You're not destroying anything in this game. And so that is a really nice sweet spot there. And look for around a $60 MSRP, which is going to become increasingly difficult, I think, to offer a price that low for a campaign game that offers that much gameplay, but it might be possible. I think it is not out of the realm of possibility. And also make it cooperative and use a single purchase format. Because like I said in that last data point, that LCGs, while games like Marvel Champions and Arkham Horror LCG are very successful, that people prefer just to be able to buy a single box and get everything they need for the campaign in that box, rather than having to constantly add more, you know, every month buy another pack so they can extend their campaign. So yeah, 1 to 4 players, 1 hour per game, 12 games per campaign, 25 total hours of gameplay, around $60, maybe not necessarily even MSRP, but maybe that's the pre-order price, maybe that's the online store price, the local store price can even be discounted down to $60, and cooperative and single purchase format. All this data definitely, as you can tell, has been on my mind a lot, has been influencing what I thought about for my campaign game. And one thing that I didn't talk about in the post here, but in fact, the post has, it looks like it has the videos about my top 10 favorite campaign games, and then the original video of my top 7 campaign games, and some design thoughts about that. So you can delve deep. That's an older video. But I did finish My City recently. And one thing I really, really enjoyed about My City, it was a 24 game campaign, single play. So it doesn't fit all the descriptions here. And it was competitive. So it doesn't fit some of these things here. But one thing I think it did really well is that it broke down games into chapters. And so each individual game, each episode was around 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. But they were broken into, there were 3 games per chapter. And so often when we sat down to play, we wouldn't just play one game. We wouldn't sit down for 20 minutes, but we liked the option was there that we could stop after 20 minutes. That actually made it more likely for us to say, let's play one more time. And then let's play one more time, because it's only another 20 minutes. What's that going to be? But the chapters created a nice both a nice stopping point, because there were 3 games per chapter, so we could play 3 games in about an hour. And they provided a nice both narrative and mechanical element, because the game could say, okay, for the next 3 games, this is a rule for you to remember, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Or after these three games, you will know this rule really well, and you will have it from then on, but you won't have to really think about it all that much. I really liked that structure of breaking down these more micro games into 1 hour sessions of three games each. So I think that's kind of a cheat around some of the data here that said that they prefer longer games, games not super long, but games that last around an hour. That if you do have a campaign game that really excels in that shorter format, 15 to 20 minutes or 10 to 20 minutes even, that if you consolidate that into, if you group that into chapters of a few different games, that is really nice. I think that's a really clever workaround for that. And that's something that I'm thinking about for my campaign game as well, that that I think I might include. It might be it might fit fairly what I've said here. There might be a 12-game campaign, but each game is pretty short and snappy, maybe as many as 30 minutes, but it might be less, that are grouped into little kind of missions. So you might have like a 3-game mission, and you try to accomplish that mission within 3 games, and then you move on to the next mission within the campaign. Just something that My City gave me to think about that you might find interesting as well if you're trying to figure out exactly how to structure your campaign game. Went a little long here, sorry about that, but yeah, I thought I'd give this format a try. I'd love to hear your thoughts about campaign games and all this data. Let me know what you're reading from this data. Obviously, this is a very small data set, and so your opinions might be different. That is totally fine. Fill out the survey, add your opinions to this data, and let me know what you learned from it. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. Thanks.